Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello, Pastor Jerry and Pastor Katie. Everybody's excited about you.
We're excited for you.
So, man, last night was good, hey, the volleys. Awesome. All right. So, welcome to church. Welcome. We've given ourselves the good part of an hour for this portion. This is not something that we normally do as a church. Normally, one of us would be up here preaching and just choosing a passage of scripture from the Bible and discerning the word of the Lord on that passage of scripture and then bringing that. Now, what we're going to do today is because we've been in a relationship series called Love Is. And we've been helping, we have a desire to see and know that God has a desire to see you in healthy relationships and specifically focusing on romantic relationships, although we've been talking about friendships and other different things as well. And it all pertains and relates to all of the above anyway. And we, as pastors, we've been pastoring for a while. This church has existed for about 10 years. And right now, this is happening in Hamilton too, by the way. So Pastor Jerry and Katie are the location pastors here at Toronto. And in Hamilton, Pastor Greg and Vanessa are down there with my wife, Jess. And she's doing what I'm doing here, kind of like, you know, a little bit of a talk show. So you can call me Dr. Phil today.
We like to call you Dr. Pastor.
Yeah. What I'm doing is I'm going to cancel Pastor Jerry and Katie on their relationship this whole time in front of you guys, and you just get to, you know, have a window into that. No. So we're going to put a QR code up on the screen, and at any, you can ask questions to that, and I can see it here on the iPad. Now, oh wait, I can't see your names. Panel.
Now everyone's
Jeff,
pulling out
I might
their
need
phone.
You. Now Jeff, come here.
It's anonymous?
Oh, wait, no.
Oh.
This is where I'm meant to see it, right?
Yeah.
There. Okay. Good. All right, because it says test. That's when you tested it. Okay. See, I can't see. Yeah, right. There's stuff coming up. Someone said, Jerry is a good cook. Oh, no. Is Jerry a good cook? Is Jerry?
Yes.
Well, that's Katie. Is Jerry a good cook?
Yes.
I thought you were making a statement. So, relationship questions, and I cannot see your names. Not that that would matter anyway, because we're a close family and it doesn't matter. Now, in the relationship series, so here's the way this has gone for the last like 5 weeks. There's a few messages that you should go back and look at as like big rock messages. So these are messages that that were preached that can kind of undergird a lot of the questions, because the difficult thing about this is we're essentially giving objective answers to subjective situations. And that's not easy to do as a pastor, because really what I want to do is when I get a question in, I know that there is a story behind that question. We know that there is pain behind that question. We know that there is reality behind that question. And what we would really love to do is sit down for an hour and work all that out to actually be able to answer the question in a spirit-filled manner. So what we might do is we're gonna talk to you and give you, and we're gonna have a discussion here today. But I need you to kind of give us a little rope, give us a little room to understand that we're trying to objectively give advice to things that are very personal, and that's not easy to do. Okay, and so some of these larger things that we talked about and things that I just want to remind you of through this series is. One thing I really felt the Spirit wanting to bring through this series that I preached on a few weeks back is for us to know that God is good, because our circumstances will often teach us things about life and about God, and they may not be true. And if you've gone through circumstances, there's relationships that have gone, there's dating, there's people that are single, there's engaged, married, divorced, multiple divorces, there's abuse, there's different things, and all along the spectrum that have gone through relationships, people watching online, everything, like there's so much going on. And what can happen is our heart of faith can become callous over time. And if we stop believing and knowing that God is good, and He is good, And I'm sorry that your circumstances and not everything about your relational world has always been good. And I know that for some people it's been really quite on the other end, like traumatic. But I know this, is that God is a good God, and that He has His plan of redemption, and He will come into your world if you allow Him, and make very healthy and make very awesome and a very redemptive plan to your life. So you ought to go back and listen to that message a few more times. And then I also preached a message, really know and felt the heart of God. And both of these messages were from Matthew chapter 7, just about the idea of positive judgment. That we think that we should never judge. Actually, you always judge.
That's right.
And yeah. Psychologists say that we make around about 40, I think it was like 40,000 decisions a day. And as you're considering dating, and as you're even, when you're married, you know, you'd be lying to say that you don't pass judgments on your spouse. And when you're dating, you're passing judgments on that person all the time, or just evaluating. Positive judgment is simply discernment. And you have to have discernment. And so there is a godly way to do that. And so now there is a pattern, and this kind of coincides with the answers that we're going to be giving today. There is a pattern that is not scriptural, and we should not align our lives with anything but scripture. And so the idea and what's going to undergird what we're going to be talking about is that as a pastoral staff at this church, everything that we help people with and lead people towards and want to live our lives and role model our lives is to live according to scripture.
Right. Yeah.
That should go without saying, but I'm saying it anyway. And so you're not here to come and get a relationship panel and go and dive into some questions and then be like, done. All right, go out there and whatever. No. We want to do life with you. We got connect groups. Yeah. We got teams. Yeah. We got relationship together. And as we, you know, you should be an open book in your connect group or underneath leadership. So how does one thrive in church, Pastor Jerry? Because this is, we want people to relationally thrive. Let's just give them the main answer. How do we thrive in church? Let's go next steps for a second.
Yeah, next steps. So, hey, those who are planted in the house will flourish, will thrive. And it's the connections you make with the people just sitting right around you.
Four to seven friends.
Through connect groups and teams. Those are the two vehicles. I tell Pastor Sam, I tell people, I don't know, this is weird, but you think about a road trip, you never want to drive alone on a road trip. You got four spots in your car. There are at least four people in this church who need to do life with you from Sunday to Saturday, Sunday to Sunday, who are going to build you up, who are going to encourage you, who are going to point
connected.
You back to Jesus when you don't know where to look to. And so we all need that. We need that. Yeah. Pastor Sam needs that. I need that. Pastor Kenny needs that. And so come to Next Steps, and we will help you take that step to get connected with those people.
Come on.
That was
and
it.
The other two C's?
Contribution and covering.
Oh yeah. Remember we used to do Next Steps right now? So we call it the three
just
C's.
Just make it short, yeah.
This three C's of C3. So
connection. This is helpful in relationships.
Connection, covering, and contribution. And so if you don't know someone who you could call midweek when you need prayer, that's covering. And it comes from a connection. So if you don't know that person, you're missing out. You're missing a key part to the Christian life, and that's the doing it together. It's not just hanging out, but it's actually being in each other's worlds of what is happening. Right. What is the hurt we're going through? What is the offense we're carrying? Right. And maybe we just need someone to pray with. Confess your sins to one another so you shall be healed. That's a Bible verse.
And sometimes it does take getting out of your comfort zone and making your connect group leader or your team lead that person.
Right.
So getting
being
a little
vulnerable.
Bit open. Yeah, being vulnerable and allowing someone to speak into your life.
Someone asked a question around this. This is good. So for those of us that are married, how can C3TO help us find another couple to stay accountable to, coach, mentor, disciple us through marriage, blah, blah, blah. So,
brilliant.
Pastor Jerry and Katie?
I'm pretty sure you just answered that, right?
Yeah.
But it's your connect group. It's your connect group. And if
but we want to help, arrange that to the right people.
I think there are so many amazing couples in this church. Like, I'm seeing them in the room here. Landon, Steph, Nathan, and Cece, Matt, and Kat. If you wanted to, you could even if you didn't have a clear way, just come speak to us. Yeah. We will connect you to those people. We will even look at your area, your geography, Jonathan and Angela even, so we can connect you to those people who could help you go through that.
And then we also do have relationship connect groups usually.
We're doing, which will start in February again.
Yes, exactly.
So those are pre-marriage connect groups. It's an alpha pre-marriage. It takes you through a series of content, and then it's like we walk through that together. And it's not just with the connect leaders, but it's with other couples. So you also learn from one another as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Alpha is the name of curriculum that came out of the UK that's extremely helpful. It's really dynamic. So you and I would have friends outside the church, of course, but just who's your echo chamber? Who's giving? Where's the advice coming from? Where's the health coming from? And is it really producing scriptural kingdom fruit in your life? How's it going for you? I tell you this, if you surround yourself in the ways that Pastor Jerry and Katie just said, you don't have to abandon or neglect people that aren't in church. It's just don't make them the main voice when it comes to your own personal relational health. Single, dating, married, divorced, wherever you're at, get the right people in your corner. Yeah. Got it? All right. Another little thing that I want to say for those watching online in the room is, I don't know exactly how PC everything's going to be in this discussion. We'll see. There might be terms that we talk about, like sex being one of them. So just monitor who's listening. All right, just going to throw that out there, just in case if they should be checked into kids or put those headphones
June,
on. You know what I'm saying?
Earmuffs, June. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I think some people want to get to know you two a little better because they're getting some questions in just about. So, to Pastor Katie, how did you stay patient in the single season? How did you know that PG was the...
I said PG.
How did you know that Pastor Jerry was who God meant for you to marry?
Oh,
let's get personal.
There's a whole sermon behind that.
But yeah, make it 3 minutes.
Yeah, we started dating on the hosting team.
Yeah.
My single life was all about just dying to myself. That is what every stage of our life is about. Single, marriage, motherhood, parenthood. It's all about dying to ourselves so that we become more like Christ.
What does that actually mean?
Here's an example.
Die to yourself as a single person.
So I always had an idea that I would move back to Saskatoon. There were two offices there that said I could be a partner in their optometry clinic. And so I'm like, I'm not going to look at anyone in Toronto. I'm just going to come, do my schooling, and then go home. But then I found C3 Toronto. I would commute in every Sunday to come. Mm-hmm. Jerry asked me out.
Not from Saskatoon.
From Waterloo.
which took some dying to self, like driving all that way to come to church.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jerry asked me out a bunch of times, and I said no.
Just twice.
A bunch, five. I said no because I had this idea in my mind to go home, to back to Saskatoon. So God took me through this whole process of letting that go, just like we're gripping to things that we want so tight. And what I say is dying to self is just letting go of one finger at a time, loosening our grip on those things that we want.
Oh, that's such a good picture. Yeah. I love that.
Anyway, so we dated. Mm. Then we broke up because I was still selfish. I still wanted to, we couldn't reconcile. He wants to be here. I want to be there. And then I was single for a long time.
And you just moved on your own to Toronto.
Yeah. Anyway, through that time, trying to make it concise here. Through that time, I had all these ideas, and God showed me the story of Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham and Sarah had been believing for this child for so long. Then they got this child, and then God said, would you take him up and sacrifice him? Yeah. Would you kill him for me? Which is intense. And so I felt like God was asking, what you want is a really good thing that I'm going to give you. Are you willing to just let me do it instead of forcing someone into it? And so in my single season, it was a lot of that. It was a lot of, oh, I'm into this person, but God, what would you have for me? Mm. In my mind, butterflies, some people say I want butterflies. For me, that meant anxiety about doing everything right. How can I keep this person around? Wow. And so if you're getting the butterflies, maybe it's good, but if you're obsessing, if you're waiting for that text message from them, if you're like trying to plan every move, that's probably not healthy.
Yeah.
And so it ended up that I didn't have that anxious feeling with Jerry. I felt so much peace. with you in the end. So,
that's great. Yeah, it's great. So releasing control, the underlying belief, God is good. Yeah. He loves you. And if you trust him and put your life in his hands, a better outcome than if you try and control it yourself. Yeah. Somebody say it. God is good. And he loves me. There's a bit of healing in that. There is. Yeah, that's a beautiful answer, Pastor Katie. Beautiful couple. I get butterflies when I'm around Jerry. All right, so... all right, so like we're kind of centered around the dating thing for a little bit. Let's just talk about, I don't know, just healthy dating around church. Like, what's the deal here? You know, do it in a righteous way.
Ask,
do we want people
out
to ask people out? Do we?
Here's the thing. If you're on an app and you come across someone who goes to the same church as you, talk to them in person.
Yeah.
Don't avoid them. We've had this where someone's like, oh, this person, I saw them on Bumble, we started talking, then we realized we both went to C3 and we stopped talking.
Yeah.
Why?
It's good. Jerry and I dated in public, we broke up in public, and then we dated again in public.
Yeah.
And I think it's good and healthy and awkward, but that's great. Because God covers through it all, right?
Yeah.
So we don't expose each other at church, we cover.
Yeah, and so maybe you're fearful of it potentially ending, and it gets, you know, what's beautiful about this church, this is our culture, we were broken up, but the family of believers is so wide and small at the same time, so big and small at the same time, that we were able to still exist in this church and still be planted and still grow because of the people around us. And so that's our culture here. So you never have to be afraid of the what ifs in case it doesn't work out, because this could still be your home. It doesn't change. So I think people think that sometimes. I was like, oh, I can't date someone in church.
Yeah, it can be awkward. You know, we've been around this long enough. People talk in church.
Yeah.
So, okay, like, get over it. As you go through different stages, like, why? It's because people love you and they're interested.
Right.
And so, yeah, not all of it's good. And please protect one another. Don't gossip about people and don't, like, you know, don't always want to be the bearer of the news and kind of spread, protect. If someone is risking enough to ask someone out in church, cover them. Give them some respect and some privacy, because you would want that respect. Please, as a pastor, as your pastor, I'm asking you, respect each other. I would much rather you find a healthy relationship within our church family and it flourish and become beautiful. I just glanced at Nathan and Cece right now. Like, that is your story. You found each other in church, happily married just recently. No, you didn't. Oh, you didn't. Well, but you came to church. Whatever, it's similar.
It's a beautiful story.
Just nod and say yes. Just change your story. Similar. Whatever. But you get the point, right? Let's respect each other, hey? Like, man, if we make it, very volatile around church because of the way we talk about one another, I don't see that to be biblical or scriptural. I see the Bible saying that we cover each other, we support one another, and we're meant to be there for one another, and you should be at more peace and more ease within the church.
That's right.
Yes.
Than, hidden through, and I get it, it's a bit easier to DM someone and use apps, it helps some of those initial risky stages of stepping out. So there's people in this room and listening online that need to be reminded, take a step and know that your heart is secure in God, and stepping out and asking someone out is a risky move. Do it.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing, because whether they say no, your identity in Christ is more secure than that. Also, there's people listening in this room, stop asking everybody out. Trust God, all right? Slow down and just chill. I said it, I don't know which preacher it was, whether it was the last one, but there's clarity in the whisper and there's confusion in the wind. And when I say wind, what I'm alluding to is when you're frantically trying to work out your marriage, yourself in your own strength, or your singleness, yourself, you're trying to find someone, you're trying that, and there's all this wind and all this crazy things going on, you're going to get more confused as to where God's voice is. Be still and know that he's God. And I'm also talking about sleeping around. There's confusion. Right. Why, a big reason why you shouldn't sleep around before you get married and why you should hold boundaries and hold all that back is because the moment you tie your soul with someone, the moment that you let all that stuff go, then trying to find clarity when hearts are connected, when souls are connected, and is this, am I committing to this and am I walking this path out and all the rest of it, is you creating confusion and chaos inside your spirit to try and find a clear answer to spend the rest of your life with someone. And Jess and I have been pastoring for long enough to just realize it's people say like, oh, you know, like if I live with someone and sleep with that person and I'm getting more clarity, it just doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen. And it actually, what it does is it also brings, even if you get married to that person, it brings an element of mistrust and confusion inside marriage. So we've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of married couples that are happily married and slept together before they got married. And they're like, you know, we actually regret it and wish we could turn back time and wish that we could hold those boundaries. Why? Because when he travels, sometimes I find it difficult to not let my thoughts run wild because he didn't have a boundary before we got married or because he said, crazy, I wish I did this and I didn't do this. And it might even just be a few tiny little thoughts. And you might say, no big deal. But like when we think about love, and you know, I'm talking a little bit long right now, but this is important. When you think about love, love puts the most margin, the most boundary for the benefit of the other people. Yeah, right. So the little illustration I use is there was three limo drivers that were interviewing to drive royalty. I used to say the queen, you know, but royalty, I know, but royalty. And the first limo driver, and they were asked the question, how close to the cliff could you get? You know, how good of a driver are you really? And the first limo driver says, oh, I could get within a couple of feet. I'm like, really good. And this person's life would not be at risk. And then the second limo driver, you know where this is going. The second limo driver said, I could get within inches. I'm an amazing, so experienced as a limo driver. And then the third said, hey, if I had that person in my car, I would drive as far away from the cliff as I possibly could. Guess who got the job? That's how we should treat each other.
Yes. Right, so good.
Not how close your hands can get to the belt buckle.
Yeah.
It should be, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't mess it up.
Yeah.
Don't, Jesus says in Matthew 7, don't throw pearls to swine.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, protect those pearls.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because modern views of dating and relationships, and there are people that are confused under the sound of my voice right now, saying, are you serious, man? That's so old school. No, it's not. Let's make the old school new school, because it's messing with people's worlds.
Yeah.
It's messing with people's worlds. And we've got it. And if you can actually just hold boundaries and so there's a bad stigma with old Christianity when it comes to purity culture. As in, like, it became abuse on people's lives, and pastors would say, you ought to be pure, and it destroyed people's lives, and we ought to, like, you know, and there's bad stigma with all that. No, are you kidding me? Let's not make it weird. Mm-hmm. Let's make it about love. And love is sacrificial, and love might need to just avoid the temptation of going there with someone for a season. In order to make a healthy decision before God, that I'm going to commit to that person for 80 years. I'm going to commit to that person for the rest of my life. I am going to pay a price, and I'm going to walk a little bit harder of a path now so that I can experience reward later instead of taking the reward now and paying the price later. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, I preach for a bit there. Guys, you want to add anything to that?
I want to add, so you had mentioned, like, people think movie, and I used to think this way too. I was raised not knowing God. And so I used to think, of course I'm going to move in with someone. Of course I'm going to do all this stuff before we get married, because it gives you so much clarity. But I actually, I was dating someone. We were trying to make a big decision about if we keep the relationship going or not. And his leader actually said, how about you don't even kiss for the entire time that you're trying to figure this out? That will give you clarity. Because the question is, if you guys aren't doing anything physical, do you enjoy being around each other?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be physical the entire, there will be definitely regular physical intimacy throughout your marriage, but a lot of times you'll be sitting on the couch enjoying each other's company.
Yeah, right.
And so do you do that in marriage or in dating first?
100%. Right. That's good. Yeah.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
You can kiss if you want.
I'm saying this, it wasn't a C3 leader. Yeah, exactly. Another church.
Try it out.
I thought that was interesting though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But this is good, healthy discussions. And again, like, you know, we are trying to build like healthy relationships and encourage that. So while we're on the topic of sex, we might as well stay there for a bit. So there's a few questions here just about marriage relationships. So how many times, well, this is kind of an interesting question. How many times should a married couple have sex? What do we think about that? How often? You know, what if I want to have sex more than my wife does?
Communicate.
I'm asking the same question.
Pretty normal.
I'm kidding.
JK.
So let's dive into this. So should there be like what kind of rhythm? Like do you guys have a rhythm? You guys like clockwork?
I don't know, man, but I mean, be honest with you, it's back and forth. It's like sometimes I'm feeling it, sometimes she's feeling it. We're still navigating that in the sense of maybe we just got to schedule it in, you know?
can I share about Pastor Peter?
Would you be okay with Jerry's scheduling? A calendar appointment comes up?
That was a joke. You're not going to actually schedule it in. That was totally a joke.
I like a schedule, but there was a couple that we respect as a church, and they said, so like Sunday to Tuesday, it's the husband's job to initiate. Thursday to Saturday, it's the wife's job to initiate. Wednesday, anything goes, but they have that rhythm.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, she shared that. She shared that in the masterclass. But I'm like, that's
Peter and Carolyn Haas.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, I'm not meant to say that. But
whatever. But I thought
that
was
works
interesting.
For them. It's a bit quirky.
Yes. But like, as long as you communicate about what it is, because a lot of time maybe you're holding back in your head and thinking, oh, they never initiate. I always have to do it, or the opposite.
Right.
And so just communicate about it. What are your expectations?
Mm-hmm.
So good.
So the person that asked, like, you know, what if I want sex more than my wife does? I would, if I was sitting one-on-one with that guy, I would talk to him about like, why could that possibly be the case?
Yeah, right.
Let's turn the reflection back on you. What aren't you doing? What, like, you know, cause dude, I don't think it's, I you gotta like give her love language. It might have nothing to do with physical. Like do play your role, like be courting her, dating.
Yes.
If you're making assumptions as in like, oh, pastor said, you know, we should schedule it in.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, man, you're an idiot. Like, open your eyes and, like, study your spouse. Like, like make that a part of, like, you know, learn her. Like, I don't know, what would you want, Katie? Like, if, what do you?
Yeah, so Jerry knows my love language. So talk about what.
What's your love language?
Words of affirmation.
Okay. So if this particular person's wife was really valued words of affirmation, how would that coincide to desire for intimacy?
Encourage her through the day. When she does laundry, say she did it really well.
Well, and it's kind of genuine. It's not kind of, it is genuine. It's not like, oh man, I'm really feeling it. I better go encourage my wife, you know? It's like, buddy's laughing there. Actually.
Sometimes it is like that though.
Yeah.
It's both.
Yeah, but it's like the way my wife mothers, or you know, especially how she mothers her kids, or how she, like, there's things I notice that I'm never going to wait on encouraging her. As soon as I observe something and I love it about her, I want to affirm her, and so it just happens throughout the day. You know what I mean? It's not like okay, I'm really, you know, yeah. It's constant.
Yeah.
It's consistent.
Right.
And it's also acknowledging, I hate the stereotype, oh, the man always wants it more. That's not always true, but oftentimes you just have to talk about your intentions.
Right.
Because if you were to talk to your wife, and her intention probably wouldn't be to be a barren wasteland where nothing ever happens, right? Like, we all want to give each other to each other in marriage. It's just like, what happened in the day? Are you exhausted and you're asking at 11:30 p.m.
Right.
And so, like, just talk about it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, give a few hours notice. Then you're both ready.
Yeah, that doesn't work for Jess. She just gets anxious. Are you doing this? Because, like, she literally says that to me. So intimacy comes out of trust. Right. The more trust you can build, like, the more intimacy you will experience. So, and how trust is built and that foundation of trust, it's built, like, as your marriage is like little tiny bricks, and it's easier to demolish a brick wall than it is to build them. And so every little brick, it's another brick of trust. And it's, and that's why boundaries are important. And that's why these things every time you sow a seed of that love language, every time you learn your spouse and you're selflessly doing something. So Jess's love languages are not my natural love languages. Mine is acts of service. You do something for me, I just feel like, man, we're the best. We're tight. But that's not Jess. And so I do a lot for Jess, and she just doesn't care. But she knows that when I'm, and hers is words of affirmation and quality time. And so she knows that when I stop doing stuff and I stop and I look at her and I put my phone down and I recognize. And what I've learned is not to say I love you. I've learned more to say how I value you. And as I communicate value, she interprets it as love. And it builds trust underneath our marriage. So I'm like, I have the ability to look at her and instill value into her life and into her heart, which removes fear and it removes insecurity. It cleanses my words, wash her heart. Yeah. It's a premeditated decision. It's not natural. It's because human nature is not natural to do that. So I'm removing my ability to remove the sin and to remove the those things from her heart as a minister, then builds trust in her world, and of course she wants to open herself up intimately.
And Pastor Sam, you said something really practical that I hope everyone caught.
So.
You did. Everything was. But this will affect every one of your relationships with your spouse, friends, kids. Put the phone down.
Boom.
Because that phone is the biggest distraction and doesn't show that you really love them. You're valuing them by putting it away and giving them focus.
How much naughtier are our kids when we have our phone?
100%.
Hey, you put your phone down and all of a sudden they start behaving.
Yeah. It's true. It's so true.
Yeah, anyway. So I think on the frequency thing, I don't know, again, it's a subjective thing and you got to work on it. But if you're having sex less than once a week, and there are different seasons of life and everything like that, but I've just noticed, just in terms of bodily rhythms and everything, it's just try and be there for one another. Try and serve one another in that way and mutually serve. That's what the Bible calls for marriage is mutual submission and mutual serving.
Am I hearing there's no, like, is it subjective? How is it? Like, there's not really a number.
There's not, because we've met people where anatomy makes it complicated and different things, and like we've pastored people through so many different scenarios when it comes to this, and some people need to see doctors and different things. I mean, that's an exception to the rule. For the most part, I would just say, as like a general rule, consider it, talk about it, at least once a week, hopefully more.
Yeah. And if you're desiring less than once a week, maybe you have to talk through something as a couple. Maybe there's an emotional intimacy that's not there.
So and we've heard so much arrogance when people are dating. It's like, I got no problem with that daily, bruh. Like morning and night. And it's like, seriously, there's a reality check in marriage. Like there are seasons. There are seasons where the busyness of life and stresses and everything like that don't help for intimacy. So there's a lot of questions to do with like biblical roles of like submission and all this stuff. And we submit. So let's talk about the idea of like covenant marriage and how that works out biblically.
Love it.
So wives submit to your husband. We're talking Galatians 5. We're talking Genesis chapter 3. So these roles talk about.
Yes.
How's it work?
Because
you're a boss.
Thank you.
And you're a boss?
He's a boss.
Yeah.
Yep. You're a servant. You're a servant.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, the traditional marriage that you would see would be the husband is working, the wife is home with the kids. Mm-hmm. Biblically, it was the men who were way more active in church, and they would deliver all of that to their wives, all of the teachings to their wives. And I believe today it still is so relevant that the husband is the spiritual head of the family. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell if your husband's devotion to God is off, something's off at home. Sure. And there is a huge covering there. And so I think it's beautiful that your family's like surging ahead and the husband is at like the tip of that arrow, and then it washes and covers the rest of the family.
Yeah.
I'm an optometrist. I have a job, and Jerry took paternity leave, which was cool for both of our kids. He loved it.
Yeah.
You loved it. It wasn't something that you were forced into. You were stoked
it was
to do that.
Yeah.
You're such a good dad.
He's the best dad. At the end of the day, I still feel a huge burden to be a mother, because mothers have a very specific role different from fathers. Mm-hmm. And so we're constantly checking in. Are we feeling like the balance is good? We never even say balance. Balance isn't the word we use. But are we feeling like the kids are thriving in our current environment? Right now, I'm working 3 days a week. Three and a half. Yeah. Do I need to add? Do I need to take away? And it'll change on seasons based on what the kids need.
Yeah.
But we're constantly checking in together.
Yeah.
And it's, I think for us women, it's more of a posture of, I am trusting my husband. I am going to allow him to be the spiritual head of our family. Some girls may think, well, what if I know better? Well, how amazing would it feel to let him decide?
Yeah.
And then you talk about it together, kind of thing.
Yeah, because we, like, there are some instances where Pastor Katie would just love for me to make the decision.
Yeah.
And I know when she wants me to make the decision. And then there are a lot where I know she wants to be included. So I always kind of bounce things off her. And then if I know that she's into it, she's going to make the decision with me. If I know that she's, knowing her now, she's not really giving too much, that's when I know I need to make the decision and lead the family.
It's good. So the short version of the theology around this is you can look back at the fall and you can look at the redemption that happens in the New Testament. So the fall, actually, what part of the curse of the fall is, it says that husbands, it says in the Hebrew that husbands would rule over the wife, and her desire would be to rule over him. So there's a power struggle that happens in the fall. And so what happens when we're our unhealthy version is that we actually default back to that. So he's trying to rule over her, and it comes out of insecurity. And her coming out of the fall wants to constantly fight that and challenge that. And we see that all through society. We see that there is a constant power struggle, and that there is you feel that there is a diminishment of value unless I'm seen as over.
Right, right.
And it's just absolutely like messed up and not biblical. Do you understand? It's her desire to rule over him. And so it's the negative side to feminism. It's the negative side to, men's power seat in business world and different things. And if we take on this kind of political fight in the church, we're not actually walking out who we are as redemptive human beings.
Right, right.
Because the New Testament version is mutual submission. It's about coming under one another and serving one another. And the desire for a wife to submit to her husband comes out of a natural response from a husband that's laid down for her.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you want to come under a savior that will give up his everything? And because husbands lay your life down as Christ, how did he lay his life down for the church? He died on a frigging cross.
Yeah.
And so because Jesus gave up his whole life for me, and he didn't present himself as the powerful Pharisee or Sadducee that I have to come up to his perfection and come under it. No, I have a desire as a Christ follower to come under him, because I know that he has already laid his life down for me, and he wants to protect me and he wants to cover me, and I can trust that. You give that gift to your wife, she will have no problem coming under leadership. And then, because ultimately your leadership is about serving her.
Yes.
So
And so it's mutual submission. That's the biblical, that's the redemption of the fall.
Yeah.
So that's how we theologically work that out. As we're talking about this, there's a number of questions that come in about, well, what, so there's a lot of what ifs. And again, a whole bunch of subjective questions coming in. So what if this? What if this? What if this? And this is the whole point about why you've got to stay really connected in church, is because you can work out all your what ifs scripturally in connect groups, undercovering, and that's why we started out that way. So you meet someone outside the church, you bring them in, they're not a Christian. The person that you're with is not, their prayer life is diminishing, or how do I get them back on track? And there's all these what if this person's not, isn't it all well and good if we had a relationship like Jerry and Katie, but we don't. Right. And so how do you speak into the, call it the unbalanced, like it's not like always two people are pursuing Jesus the same way.
Right.
It gets complicated.
It's complicated because it is subjective. What we found in our relationship, I think a big part of it, you said praying, like don't underestimate the power of prayer in the context of your relationship. We can be praying for our spouses, not in the sense of, oh God, make them better. It's not like that. That's a selfish prayer, but just really valuing them in your prayer. And then a big thing I think for husbands as well is leading by example. I think that's important. Like, are you the thing, I think, oh, you were talking to about, but the judgment thing, like, what'd you say? You said it better.
Well, it's about hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Like, don't judge someone else's world unless you're prepared to have the same judgment pointed at yourself.
That was so good. He said, Pastor Sam said this last week. But it's leading by example. So for instance, thinking about prayer life or, Bible reading or anything like that. I don't know. There, in the exposure and the proximity you have with the people you're in a relationship with, there is observations being made. There is that watching one another. And so I would encourage you to lead by example,
role modeling.
Role modeling. Yeah, whether it be you reading your Bible, whether it be you. Are you doing that yourself consistently?
But don't do it like this. Jesus, Father. Oh, Deuteronomy. Like, come on. Just pursue Jesus the way you want to pursue Jesus. Don't 100%. Be like... Again. Don't be a weirdo.
I don't know if this is weird, but like I love talking about scripture to Pastor Katie. I love saying, hey, I read this story. Yeah. We even talked about yesterday's message last night.
Come on.
Before going to bed. Yeah. And that dialogue helps. That dialogue helps,
I love that I'm not Jerry's pastor. Like I love if he's going through something, I'm confident that he has dudes around him to walk through that with him. And vice versa.
Yeah.
I have my girls to call certain things out in me. So we're not meant to be calling those things out in each other necessarily. What did I want to say also about that?
So could we help? So if we're not calling out that thing, could we help? Is it weird to be like, Pastor Katie, you should meet Laura. Laura is just like, introducing them to other people who can help them walk that life. So I think it's exposure to, to people who it's like, oh man, they're solid in God. And so I just want you to, I want to introduce them to you or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And on, sorry, you were about to,
I was just going to say, it doesn't feel good to be in any relationship and think the other person has an agenda as well. Like, so we can't hold a certain expectation, if we're married, we can't hold a certain expectation that you're going to get to this place. We just need to approach that person with love.
Yeah.
And loving them for who they are will get the best out of them.
Right.
And praying for them will get the best out of them as well.
Yeah, and I was going to add to that, because it's ultimately trusting God.
Yes.
So there is two unhealthy reasons, two unhealthy things in dating and finding someone, and also in marriage, how it plays out. One side that's unhealthy is, I need to find someone because they'll better complete me. So you're looking for your spouse to fulfill something that only God can fulfill. Right. So that's unhealthy. If there's any side of dating someone or any side of trying to find someone to fill a need that you have, that is, get it gone. Mm-hmm. Get it gone. Sexually, spiritually, in your emotions, soul, mentally, all of it. Yeah. That other person, it is not their job. So when you're trying to find someone to date, if you feel that there is a void or a brokenness or a hurt or an emptiness in you, and you're hoping that the person that God, the one that God brings into your life is going to answer that, stop putting hope in that direction, put it towards God. And same when you're married. If that person is not behaving a certain way towards you because you need something and you're unconsciously putting an expectation on your spouse, you are putting a heavy laden burden on them, a human burden on them that they cannot carry. And don't be surprised if they start wigging out because they can't carry the burden that you're putting on them. And it's never gone well for me when I have put my selfish agenda on my wife. Never gone well. And so the other side of the unhealthy thing is that when you are dating someone in hope, you are dating the version of them that they're not currently. Or you are trying to force a change on your spouse that they're not currently. Yes. Love them by who they are right now, right in front of your face. Faults, problems, dysfunctions, idiosyncrasies, all of it. If you date someone, so if you find someone on the street because they're smoking hot and you get along with them really well and everything, but they're just not a Christian. So what you do is you bring them to church. Why? Because C3 is so awesome. Yeah. And when they come in here, that they're just going to become so much in love with Jesus.
Don't
just
get
like
converted.
Me. Stop doing it that way. Stop doing it that way. If they're not already pursuing Christ because that's who they are, and you're trying to convert them, flirt to convert, we call it. Now, there is a very few stories where it actually happens that way, but as Pastor Jerry said earlier, it's the exception to the rule. So I know there are stories for everything that we're talking about where it works out. I know there are stories, and I know there are stories where someone finds someone outside the church, then they're not a Christian, and they come, they fall in love with Christ. Pastor Greg and Vanessa's story is that story. But that's an exception to the rule. As a general rule, it is healthier and better to fall in love with and continue to love the person for who they are as if they will never change. So can you love your spouse for exactly who they are today like they will never change ever? That is a challenging... Now, here's what will happen, is because you trust God higher than your own human strength and higher than your own grip, because you trust God and you are naturally... What do you do when you fall in love with Jesus? You naturally change. You naturally become more Christ-like. Yeah, it's going to happen in your spouse, but regardless, it's not a prerequisite. It's not a condition of fine print that you have in your love towards them that, man, if they read their Bible a little bit more, I would treat them a little bit better. If they were a little bit kinder, I would treat them a little bit better. If they were a little bit less of this or more of that, if they would clean up or do this or do that or whatever, the moment we bring those things into our marriage, it starts to become unhealthy.
Could you explain that verse? Does that verse was don't be yoked? Is this okay? Don't be yoked to unbelievers.
Oh, don't be yoked to unbelievers. Yeah.
What's that mean?
Well, it can relate to scenarios, but yoking yourself to someone is pulling weight with them and connecting with them. And when you're yoked to an unbeliever, you're essentially yoked to the destination and the outcome of their life.
Wow.
What they're working for, their motives, it's like when you become born again, you get renewed in Christ, you get an operating system changes. It's like you go from being an Android to being an Apple. Like it's you totally get like a whole operating system gets pulled out of you. And so no wonder the relationship's experiencing dysfunction because you're trying to speak a different language than the person that you're dating.
Yes.
Right.
And then, but I'm so attracted to them and our chemistry. And it's like, no, the core of who you are breathed into spiritually first. You are ultimately spirit. You had an eternity, God knew you before you were born. And after this, you're going to be living for eternity.
Yes. So good.
So you're this tiny little vapor is your lifetime right now on this eternal spiritual journey that you're on. And we think, oh, you know, like, it's not the biggest deal if they're not following Christ the way I'm following Christ. It is a big deal.
There's these small little pebbles, like, whether it be like, man, like, they love the same music or they love traveling, but it never outweighs the biggest rock. What's the biggest rock? It's the relationship with God. It's He's the core. Yes. He's the center. So that has to be the first thing, the biggest rock. And then the other small things come after that.
Yeah. For those who are thinking, oh, but this person's so compatible with me. We like all the same things. We're in the same industry, whatever. But they just don't love Jesus. But that could come. That takes a lot of faith. And so first thing, you could use that faith to just believe that God's going to make your life thrive within His church, get you on mission for Him, and then bring someone alongside you who's going to also love Jesus, and you don't need to wait on them. Like, how bad would it feel to come in church and the person you're dating is just like looking, are they raising their hands yet? Are they tithing yet? Do they love Jesus yet? Like, that's a lot of pressure already in.
I can also hear thoughts right now of people saying, hey, this isn't that Christian. Like, you know, we're talking about judging someone that's not following Christ and just to, why do you have to date them as well? Bring them to church.
Yes, for sure.
Love on them.
Yeah.
Do all the things that we're talking about, but don't commit to them until you see like a genuine fire for God happen. And again, my message last week, we feel like we can't be judgmental. The Bible calls us to be judgmental.
Yeah. Mm.
You are meant to not be judgmental. The Bible calls us to use judgment.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
It's the way I see it is like when you're committing not to date them, you're just stepping aside for them to meet God. Yeah. It's kind of like you want them to meet God, but you're in the middle.
You don't
mean to be in the middle, but to that person, you're in the middle, so they're never going to see God. So just step aside, commit not to date them, bring them to church, and let them meet God. Mm. And that's where your faith is believing in.
I'll also just say one quick thing. Jerry and I both could have found someone who has more shared interests. We found our shared interests that we have, but we are different.
We're very different.
But what came down to it, we're just coming out of a year of going through a cancer journey for me, and we didn't care that we liked the same things or didn't. What we cared about was if I asked Jerry, are you worried that I'm going to die? He's like, no, God's given me a word. You're going to live. You're good. We're solid. Yeah. And so that I think that's ultimately what it comes down to,
right?
Is that when you go through crisis, you have that shared foundation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Well, there's a lot of other questions here. There's many different subjects that we didn't touch on. Divorce is a big one of them that we didn't touch on. There's different sin habits, trauma, hurt, abuses. There's a couple of things coming in here. There's a lot that we didn't touch on. So if you want to stay around for part two, there we do have another service later. And you should probably check out the recording of Hamilton because no doubt, you know, this is good. But my wife is like, man, she's like divine wisdom. Thank you. Why don't you thank Pastor Jerry and Katie? No, you're good. Just leave. Yeah. So for those watching online and in the room, again, so many subjective stories, and we really only just scratched the surface on a couple of topics. This is an ongoing conversation, and it shouldn't just live and be in the context of one time like this. And at the end of a relationship series, it's kind of fun to have like a little bit of a panel Q&A interaction with the congregation in this way. And so ultimately, believe God is good and has a plan for your life. And if you live from His bread, which is the words from Him, if you listen to God in your life and being a pastor and doing this for some time, that we experience many people that are tricking themselves, like convincing and manipulating situations, especially because it does get confusing when it comes to romance and marriage and all these things. And we have conversations with a lot of people all the time, and you can just hear the language where it's like trying to bend God's word to fit the puzzle piece of what my current circumstance is. That's just, you never have to do that. The better way is to I love that picture, just letting go of the, letting go of the grip. And if our lives is we become flexible for God. And so we become flexible and we fit into his puzzle piece, into his mold. When you do that, man, you release control. There's so much security in that. There's so much peace in that. There's so much reassurance in that to like just really let go and trust God. Like, and so if you have gone through divorce, to untangle the complexities of those situations and to have your heart free and healed and to have thinking just totally untangled and to the point that you're in what God calls his spacious place ought to be something that you ought to salivate for. It ought to be something that your heart is just like, man, and God's plan and purpose, not just for your life, but also for your ex, that you're finding it difficult to forgive, that you're finding that person difficult to believe for. And no, God has a plan and a purpose for them. You can't twist their arm to follow Jesus, but you can actually make a decision in your own heart that you are going to do things before God, that you're going to respond to God, respond to his word and follow him. In marriage, if your marriage isn't where it should be, maybe it's something, maybe like, and we shouldn't oversimplify like sex life. It's a big deal. Marriages end in divorce for two major topics. It's either got something to do with sex or something to do with finance. That's the foundation of most divorce. Most. Again, I'm making general statements, but you know, I'm only 38, and it's not like I've been pastoring for decades and decades and decades, but I've been pastoring for long enough. And these are big subjects, and we don't, if we can't talk about these things in church and kind of like air it out a little bit, but I'm telling you, God's the one that created sex. Why does he not want to, and it's weird to say, but why does he not want to be involved? He's got guidance and direction so that your marriage can be more intimate than your wedding night. That it can be more intimate than just the intimacy can build, and that there can be layers to it, that it's not just physical. And to heal individual parties, there was different questions that came in to do with like porn and different things, and that overcomplicate and bring lust into the marriage and things like that. But God, as God heals those sides and brings you forward with words and brings you forward in your life, that you will change and you will be more like Christ and you will see greater fulfillment and greater intimacy and greater strength be the building blocks and the foundation of your marriage. Because those who trust in the Lord with all of who they are, and they don't lean on Toronto's methods, Hamilton's methods, the different things, they don't lean on own understanding, and they acknowledge him in all ways, including who to choose to be married. And I don't think there is the one, I think the person becomes the one. I don't think there's a one. I think there will be once you get married to that person. But I know that there are many different people that you can marry and you're going to do really well, because marriage is a choice. Love is a decision. Love is a decider that hey, I'm laying my life down for this person, and you're choosing the person that you're choosing to lay your life down for. You're not choosing the person like for a number of other reasons. Ultimately, you're choosing the person of, I want to spend my days with this person. I want this person to be my companion. And I'm going to lay my life down for this person. You're not asking, are they really worth it? Everybody's really worth it. What, are they going to meet a sequence of conditions for you to lay your life down for them? You're amazing. You're beautiful. You're a superstar, dude. You are so worth someone laying their life down for you. And if anyone's treated you any different, if they've broken your heart, if they've slept with you and left you to the wayside, let me be a pastor that stands up here and says, no, you're more valuable than that. You're more valuable than someone to mistreat your heart. Breaks my heart. Just the pain that we inflict on one another because we aren't following Christ, because we don't have who Christ is overflowing from who we are. And you can't love your neighbor as yourself. And the only way you can love yourself is when you truly love Christ. Just close your eyes and bow your heads as I close the service. I feel the Holy Spirit in this room right now. Lord, guide us. Lord, give us your word. As we're at the end of this relationship series right now, Father, there are so many stories, journeys, complications, but Lord God, I thank you that as we love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, Lord, everything that we are, I thank you, Jesus, that we are whole in you and that we can let the other people around our lives free from having to fill a void because you are our fulfillment and our hope is placed in you. I pray for intimacy and health in marriages. I pray for clarity in singleness. I pray for clarity in dating. I pray for clarity and freedom and healing for people that have gone through divorce. In your name, Jesus, I pray for a shortcut of restoration that we can trust you and lean on you. I thank you that there is an immense amount of hope filling hearts and lives right now, that we know that you're a good God and you ultimately have our best interest at heart. And we can be made so whole in you that as a community, we become healthier. And as a community, we're more whole for one another. And this city becomes more whole because there are churches filled with amazing communities like this one. So Lord God, I thank you that you're leading us and guiding us. And although man makes plans, I thank you that you direct our steps, Lord. And as much as we like to think that we know what's best, ultimately we need to trust you. And so Father God, I thank you for every story. I thank you for every journey. And I thank you for your presence in our lives. And everybody said, amen. Just keep your eyes closed just for a moment. Jesus wants relationship with you. It's very difficult to walk out life. It's actually impossible without a relationship with Jesus. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, or you once made a decision to follow Jesus, but you've walked away from him and you know that you need to recommit your life to him. If you've never done this before, or you know you need to recommit your life to him, I want to give you an opportunity right now. And we're going to pray a prayer together as a church. We're going to be agreeing with everybody watching online as well. And it's a prayer that makes your life right with God. And I don't want you living another day without you having reassurance that your life is where it ought to be with Jesus. He created you. He knows you. The question isn't whether he knows you. The question is, do you know him? And so if you're here in this place, if you're like, hey, I want to pray a prayer that invites Jesus into my heart, or I want to recommit my life to God. If that's you with nobody looking around, can you slip your hand up nice and high so I can see it? Who is there in this place? You're like, yeah, that's me. I want to pray that prayer. Thank you. Thank you. A couple of hands. You can put them down. Thank you. I saw it. 3, 4. Is there anybody else? I know there's people responding online. If you're watching online, you just click the I raise my hand button in the comment section. Is there anybody else here today that wants to join this handful of people? I'm not going to pull you to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I just, as a sign of faith, want you to raise your hand and say, yeah, you know, I gotta give my life to Christ. Anybody else? Amen. Awesome. Stand to your feet, church. What a great day. Hey, why don't you just give God some praise? Amen. 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 All right, let's pray this prayer together as a whole church community. There was 4 people in the room, and I know there's more people watching online, that the people respond like this every single week. And why don't we just pray this prayer, just repeat after me. Just say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new and help me follow you from this moment on as my Savior and my Lord. In your name, Jesus, I ultimately trust you. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.